Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend fathers, dear sisters, dear faithful, Easter is not about the bunnies. You knew that already. There was a little one at Mass, at the first Mass this morning, that was quite full, and he was clutching his little Easter bunny with all of his might. But it's not about the bunny. He'll learn that in time. Nor about the basket of goodies waiting for him at home, nor the brunch on offer this morning, although we did have a wonderful brunch yesterday and a fine Easter egg hunt for the little ones. Still less is Easter a kind of a feast of spring weather and nothing more, although how God is blessing us this beautiful Easter day with magnificent weather. No, it's not the dyed eggs, the family dinner, the new clothes, everyone looks very nice this morning, going to church for a rare day of dressing up for Mass in the morning and dinner in the afternoon. Nor is it for the lilies, the flowers, all of these dear Catholic customs which we cherish. The Church has for centuries shared with all of the world, which joins thus, in a way, in our faith-filled rejoicing. These traditions do but reflect the traditional and true religion, which the world pretty much has buried, but lets out of its tomb by common agreement twice a year, if it behaves itself, at Christmas and again at Easter. All of this, these sights and sounds, the appearance of Easter with all of its appurtenances, cry out the truth which each observance points back to or hints at. He is risen, Jesus Christ our Lord, risen from the dead the third day, and risen by his own power because he is God. During the French Revolution, there was no Easter, and there was no Mass or church, and there was no God except reason. There was some philosopher, 18th century philosopher, who thought quite a bit about his mental abilities, and sort of detached from reality, as great thinkers will. He very innocently and sincerely wanted to propose to the new world of the French Revolution a new religion to match it. The man's name, Revelier. So he drew up plans for this new religion, which he thought would be a real benefit to humanity right about then. And he went to see one of the government ministers, a certain Barras, and he asked his advice as to the method by which this new religion could best be spread. "Well," said Barras, "my advice to you, monsieur, is to get yourself killed on Friday and rise from the dead on the following Sunday." The philosopher's answer is not recorded. Of all of the religion replacements we have looked at together this Lent, without by any means exhausting the subject, not a one note started this way, but only ours, the original, the Catholic faith, which stands apart as going all the way back to the open tomb and the risen Christ, the greatest miracle of history, actually risen, I note, in the flesh. He died on Friday, his body bloody, beaten, was covered with a burial shroud and some spices swiftly before the onset of the Sabbath and shoved into the cold stone of the sepulcher. And there it rested on that shelf until he rose, glorified on the third day. Not a vision, not a wish, not a vague spiritual encounter, not a myth as the modernists would. He rose from the dead. Not one of all of the cults which compete with Christianity can claim such a miracle. Ah, yes, there are, of course, the gods of global warming, gun control, the all-powerful government, which has an answer for everything if only a law could be passed to take care of it, and earth worship and ecology, and the superstate and spying and political correctness and permanent victim status for certain privileged groups. Despite their strict creeds and code of conduct, if you think we're strict, the old ways at St. Gertrude the Great, you join one of these new religions and see how much leeway they'll give you. No, their priests will come around, never mind the usher, and they'll stick the basket under your nose. And they demand your contribution, your sacrifices, your children, even our beloved sports. All of these have their strict and unbending laws and requirements. And then, of course, there are our own personal household gods, the shrines on the shelf for the private idols of life. Our lust, I mean, and our anger, and our covetousness, and our envy, and our sloth, and drugs, and drink, and materialism. And I should mention, too, the excess of militarism and the excesses of modern medicine and their little doctor gods. All of them must be worshipped. And they will come boldly, and they will make their claims, victims for their altars daily, some form of human sacrifice, only though no one dares say it so. Much death in these religions. But not a single one of them has ever raised a man from the dead, nor offered life without end, heaven, which could even start in your heart here on earth. Not a single other religion has managed this, that which our Lord did all by himself early, early on Easter morn, quietly, were it not for the earthquake, and such a burst of light that his image, his holy face, would imprint itself on the burial shroud and there lie hidden for lo 20 centuries, waiting to be discovered by modern man at the end of the 19th, on the very cusp of the technological age. There, that's another religion for you. The age of image and the age of information. Before it started, though, our modern age received all of the information and the one only image it ever really needed. Our Lord left his face in a photograph. I'm wondering if it would be flip, this joyous Easter morn, to call it the first selfie, but call it what you will. It is his photograph, and he took it himself just at the moment when his soul returned from limbo and was uniting itself with his adorable body. Just before that, then there came that blinding flash of light which recorded the image for all of history, his holy and adorable face. The solution that God gives to us for the sins of our age and the needs of our household. I have a picture of it, of this picture, enshrined in the sanctuary this morning. Now, since Jesus has died on a Friday and risen on a Sunday, it leaves only him to be God. And if he is God, well, then I must worship him and him alone. And I must report back to him every eighth day. Every Sunday is a little Easter, still dressed in my Sunday best and having worshiped him for the rest of the day, rest and family dinner. I must give him the first fruits of each week of my life and must adore him with the best of all gifts, which is the Holy Mass. He did it. He died and rose. He is God. And my homage to him now I must bring, nor ever will I feast again with that old malice and iniquity leaven, the new religions of any age. No, not for me. As for me and for my house, I will serve the Lord with the new leaven, the bread of sincerity and of truth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.